Hello, this is Tommy Peeler, and welcome to our podcast, Carefully Examining the Text. All we're seeking to do in this podcast is exactly what our title indicates, to carefully examine the Scriptures. Our podcast started with an introduction to the Psalms, and we've covered all the Psalms to Psalm 109, most cases in one episode. In a couple of cases, a few cases, it's taken two. Today, we find ourselves in Psalm 110. And carefully examining the text, we want to read the text and get it before us. In the New American Standard Bible, the psalm is spoken of as a psalm of David, a heading that is of utmost importance. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at my right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Psalm 110 is largely built on the two decrees in verse 1 and in verse 4. In verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." In verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You notice some key phrases that appear a couple of times. For example, in verse 1, the Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand." Sit at God's right hand. But this phrase, "right hand," is repeated in verse 5. But there, instead of the my Lord sitting at the right hand of the Lord, there the Lord is at my right hand. But I would suggest that particularly with verses 1 and 4, that every word of this psalm has great significance. And I hope you see this in this podcast and in the one to follow. One thing you notice if you look at your text closely is the word "Lord" in verse 1 is first used in all capital letters. But then the second time the word "Lord" is used, there are smaller letters. The Lord says to my Lord. What this indicates, even in our English translation, it points us to the Hebrew and shows us that there are two different Hebrew words behind these words for Lord. The first word, Yahweh, is used in verse 1, "The Lord says." In verse 2, "The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter." And in verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind." You notice in each of those cases that the word "Lord" is used in all capitals. But in the second instance in verse 1, "The Lord says to my Lord," and in verse 5, "The Lord is at my right hand," the Hebrew is a different word, the word Adonai. Now, Adonai is usually used in the Old Testament of God. That's generally the way it's used. However, it can refer to a superior to a master, it can be addressed from one human being to another. Let me illustrate. In 2 Kings 5, we read the cleansing of Naaman the leper. And in that context, the relationship between Naaman and the king of Aram is described in 2 Kings 5, verse 1 and verse 4, as the king being Naaman's lord, Adonai. In 2 Kings 5, in verse 3, the maidservant from Israel views Naaman as Lord. And then in 2 Kings 5, verse 20 and verse 22, there Gehazi views Elisha as Master or Lord, Adonai. All five of those verses that I mentioned from 2 Kings show us the use of this Hebrew term Adonai. It can refer to the true God, but can also refer, it can also be used by one person to another that he regards as a superior. Now, all of this is going to be significant. The Lord, Yahweh, a word always used of the true God who reveals himself in covenant relationship to Israel, the Lord said to my Lord, David writes, sit at my right hand. Sit at my right hand. A right hand was a position of authority or power. Solomon bestowed a lofty position upon his mother, Bathsheba, and she had a throne at his right hand in 1 Kings 2 and verse 19. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Often in the Old Testament, when nations defeated their enemies, they made them sit and put their feet upon their necks, as you see in a passage like Joshua 10, verse 24. The Bible describes kings defeating their enemies as putting them under their feet, as is the case of Solomon in 1 Kings 5. And verse 3. And you find in Isaiah 51, verse 23, that the enemy was actually forced to lie down, and the victors walked across their backs. Now, each of those verses are demonstrations of the fact that the Lord makes his enemies a footstool for his feet. Sometimes in the Old Testament, heaven is viewed as God's throne and the earth being his footstool. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Sometimes the temple is viewed as God's footstool. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2. In Psalm 132, verse 7. But in this case, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool, your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion his mighty scepter, his strong scepter in verse 2. God is extending the rule of the king and the scepter of the king, beginning in Zion. Psalm 2 verse 6 talks about Zion, his holy mount, and how he has installed his king upon Zion. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. The enemies that are a footstool in verse 1 are recognizing his rule in verse 2, or they are a subject to his rule. Verse 3, a very difficult passage because there are several translation questions, but it seems to demonstrate a people who volunteer freely to serve the king. They volunteer willingly to serve the king. In holy array, and you find that language used in 1 Chronicles 16:29, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, and in Psalm 96 and verse 9. But all of these portray a willing, a holy army who are as the dew is to the morning in their relationship to the king, a strong people, a mighty people, a holy people, a willing people who are serving this king. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, who is Melchizedek? Melchizedek is only mentioned in the Old Testament in one other place, in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20. There, Melchizedek is described as king of Salem, apparently a shortened form of Jerusalem, once used in the Psalms that way, Psalm 76 and verse 2, king of Jerusalem and priest of God Most High. He is the first person called a priest in the Bible. He combines the offices of king and priest. And there are a couple of significant things said about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis 14, he meets Abram after he has defeated the kings from Mesopotamia. And the Bible tells us that Melchizedek blessed Abram. Now, sometimes in the first five books in the Torah, sometimes you find Jacob blessing Pharaoh, Genesis 47. Or you find Pharaoh asking Moses to bless him and his people in Exodus 12 and verse 32. But here you find a person outside of Abraham's descendants blessing Abraham and his descendants. Melchizedek blessed Abraham instead of the other way around. Melchizedek blessed Abram, and Abram paid a tithe to Melchizedek. Now, both of those things will ultimately show themselves to be very important. In verse 5, the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will shatter kings. He will execute judgment among nations. He will fill the nations with the corpses of those that he has defeated in battle. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. In verse 7, he will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. There are passages which use this phrase, lifting up the head, in the context of a victory in battle, and not lifting the head in the context of defeat in battle. For an example of not lifting the head as an example of defeat, when Gideon defeated the Midianites in Judges 8:28, the text there tells us that they did not lift up their head against Israel. In Zechariah 1, verse 21, after Israel was defeated, they did not lift up their head. But it can also be used, lifting up the head, not lifting up the head, is used for defeat in battle. Not lifting up the head, but lifting up the head is used for victory in battle. You see that also in another part of Zechariah 1:21. Psalm 3, verse 3, David talked about the Lord as his glory and the lifter of his head. Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6 as well. This is a powerful psalm. Let me read it again from the ESV. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely in the day of your power, in holy garments from the womb of the dawn. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Let me say a few things in summarizing this particular psalm. Notice how this psalm refers to the foes of the king, the foes of my Lord. They are enemies in verses 1 and 2. They're kings in verse 5 and nations in verse 6, chiefs in verse 6. So the most powerful of men and collections of men are the enemies that are put under my Lord's feet. So in this passage, the foes are formidable, but the victory is absolutely complete. The foes, the enemies, are made a footstool in verse 1. In verse 2, rule in the midst of your enemies. In verse 5, he shatters kings, and in verse 6, my Lord shatters chiefs. And in verse 6, he also judges the nations and fills them with their corpses. So, the enemy is formidable and powerful, but the victory is complete. And victory comes only from the Lord. In verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In verse 5, the Lord is at my right hand, and he shatters kings. He's the one who gives victory. In verse 2, the Lord is stretching forth the scepter of the king. And in verse 4, his rule is based on the Lord's oath. The reason the victory is complete in spite of formidable foes is because he sits at the Lord's right hand and the Lord is at his right hand. The Lord is responsible for victory. If you listen to our other podcast, you know that it is quite common that we emphasize how Jesus fulfills this psalm. But we're not going to do that in this podcast. This podcast is going to spend, Lord willing, in the near future, another entire podcast on how Psalm 110 and Jesus fulfill this particular psalm. The reason there is too much to squeeze this in a couple of minutes. There's no passage of the Old Testament referred to any more frequently in the New than Psalm 110. And hopefully you will see, if you don't already, that every word of this psalm has significance. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you.